first time certain item, please.
Item 1030, approve funding recommendations made by the Children's Levy Allocation Committee for September 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. The Portland Children's Levy has been in the enviable position of receiving more revenue than we anticipated from our property tax collections. And we have invested that money in some additional programs that we're pleased today to shine a spotlight on a few of these programs that are new to being supported by the Portland Children's Levy. Since 2002, the levy has strengthened our community by helping thousands of children from birth through college reach their potential. We have done this through increasing children's access to proven programs that provide positive early development, school engagement, and academic achievement, high school graduation assistance, and family safety and stability services. We are thankful that Portland voters have chosen to make children a priority each time the levy has come before them, creating it in 2002 and overwhelmingly renewing it in 2008 and again in 2013. We're gratified by our community's confidence that the levy is empowering not just children, but parents and caregivers to become more skilled at advocating for their children in their classroom and in their lives. Today, Portland Children's Levy Director Lisa Pellegrino is here to ask Council to approve new two-year investments in after-school programs made by the Levy's Allocation Committee, which is the governing body. These investments will run from September this month through June of 2019. These investments will provide safe and high-quality after-school, academic, and enrichment programs for students throughout the city. So we're pleased that we can accomplish this with a 5% administrative cap so that 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to proven programs and that the levy receives high grades from our annual independent audits. So now I'll turn it over to our director, Lisa Pellegrino.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. That's good? Okay.
There you go.
The green light was on, so I thought I was good to go. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all again. I am Lisa Pellegrino, as Dan Saltzman introduced me, the director of the Children's Levy. And as Dan noted, the Allocation Committee made the decisions that we're asking you to approve. And just to remind everybody about who sits on the Allocation Committee, Commissioner Saltzman is the chair of the committee and is the representative from City Council. Deborah Cofori is the chair of Multnomah County and sits as the elected representative from the County Commission. Julie Young is the city-appointed citizen rep that sits on the committee. Serena Studemeyer-Wesley is the county-appointed citizen rep that sits on the committee. And last, Mitch Horniker is the appointee of the Portland Business Alliance, who holds the fifth seat on the committee. So that's the group of people who are made these decisions that we're asking you to approve today. As Commissioner Saltzman said, these additional grants were made because we had more revenue than anticipated, and that revenue accrued over time. The committee came together and has made a variety of allocations you've approved, and this latest set, they decided to run a grant round for additional after-school programs because after-school programs are the most requested. We get about six times the request for the level of money that we offer for after-school programming whenever we let grants for after-school. So it's the typical ratio is 3-1, after school is 6-1. So it just goes to show that there's tremendous need out there for after school programming and there's tremendous demand. The committee elected to pilot a two-step process in making these grants. They did a letter of interest process where prospective grantees could submit a letter of interest and then be asked to submit a full application. We received approximately 23 letters of interest and 13 were asked to submit full applications. The committee decided to pilot this process because the levy's funding application is a pretty heavy lift for many organizations. It takes a lot of resources to complete it. So this allows people to kind of test their idea and gives the committee a chance to have a little bit longer process to consider the different possible grantees. So of the 13 applicants that the committee reviewed, they all submitted applications. They were scored by volunteer reviewers. The committee looks at the scores that the reviewers present, and they also consider the geographic location of programs, the population served, the needs addressed, and whether or not programs are culturally specific. And after considering all 13 applications, they agreed to fund seven of them, and there's the list of them, and it's also attached to your paperwork there. We have a number of them here ready to present and tell you a little bit about their programs. Go in and see the full list of everybody. I'm happy to answer any questions about process if there's any questions, and otherwise we do have folks here to tell you a little bit about some of the programs that were funded.
Colleagues? Looks like you're off the hook for now.
Okay,
I'm the least interesting person. The programs are much more fun. Thank you.
And now we'll be hearing from four of these new after-school programs. El Programa Hispano Catholico, REAP, Kairos PDX, and Latino Network. So I'd like to invite El Programa's program coordinator, Adriana Lopez, who will be introducing some of their participants. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm the program coordinator for the Puentes Mentoring. And first of all, we're going to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to partner with the city on this program. We have this program for several years, and we've been working with high schoolers and middle schoolers. But this time, we have the opportunity to serve elementary kids, so we're very grateful for that. On top of that, with the situation and the political environment, I think it's very important for us to be recognized by the city and say there's a need and there's a population that needs services and support. So I don't want to talk a lot about what I do, but I do want to introduce a couple of people that have received the services and will be receiving the services. And so I can introduce
yep.
them.
Bring them on up.
The first one is Pedro, so he can introduce himself.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh. Just want to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak about this program. I myself, I'm a product, per se, of after-school extended day supporting from El Programa Hispano. I started back in high school trying to fit in, trying to figure out what to do after school. I had a lot of choices, some of them not so good, but I decided to mentor kids because I was given the opportunity to start coaching soccer. From there, I started to get involved in a lot of different ways, supporting academic enrichment activities through the summer programs as well, and got to the point where I believed in the program so much that my sister was also a part of the program. She went through it herself. So now that I've graduated college and I've been able to keep on giving back to the community, I've decided to work for this organization one more time and really continue the values and the mission what they saw and open the doors to a student like myself. So now I get to do that on a daily basis for other students. So I wanted to make sure you let you know a little bit of what's going on within the community. This is something that's very much needed. There's a lot of support needed for these students. And there's also a lot of work being done. So I really want to appreciate some of the people in the room, like Patricia, for example, who works with a lot of kids and a lot of families. And I think this is going to get a great opportunity for the community to work with the families at a primary school level, because it's going to be a lot of different things that they can be engaged in, a lot of understanding of new systems for those families. So it's going to be a really great opportunity. Help me, help my family, and help a lot of kids. I know that now I've graduated high school and continue to go to college and get back at some point or another.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The other person at family is a mom. Her name is Reina. And we were trying to get a couple of students, but since it's the beginning of the school year, we didn't want to miss classes.
Right.
Hola, buenos días. Mi nombre es Reina Alvarado.
Good morning. My name is Elvia Alvarado.
Aquí estoy para hablar de mi hija que está en 10 grado. Del programa de Puente es muy importante y yo quiero que siga ese programa.
And I'm here to talk about my daughter who is in 10th grade and that she is involved in that program, and I want to let you know about that program and how important it is for her.
Porque ella le ha ayudado bastante ese programa. Ella se mejoró bastante y ahora ella está bien contenta que ella estuvo ese programa y yo quiero que siga continuando dando suficiente fondo más de lo que estaban dando para que le beneficie a todos los estudiantes.
And she is very happy with the program. She has gotten so much better. She's very happy that she is in it. And I want you guys to know that and to encourage you to go ahead and allocate more funds for this program, because I want all students to have this opportunity that she is having, because she's very, very happy to be in it.
El otro también que me mencionó Adriana, que van a empezar con otros programas de puente en la escuela primaria, y ese estoy bien emocionada también porque ese también le va a ayudar bastante a los niños a aprender a leer, aprender a hacer la matemática y todas otras actividades de, después de la escuela. Y yo quiero de mi parte que sigue dando suficiente fondo para toda la escuela, y me gustaría que extendiera más ese programa en otra escuela para que puedan ayudar más niños.
I was also told that there is another program that they're going to be doing for elementary school children, and I think that is wonderful. This is going to help the children with math and different things, and I wish that you would allocate more funds so that all the children in the school can participate in this program, because I really believe that that would make a difference for the children. I want you to know how important it is and how much it's going to impact all those families that are being supported through these programs in the school.
Porque eso le va a ayudar mucho a estudiante, porque hay algunos niños que entran en primer grado, en segundo grado, y ellos no saben a leer, no saben así. Y con este programa, después de la escuela, los mentores le va a ayudar bastante para que ellos siguen mejorando más, y ya cuando ya están en su 8 grado, 9 grado, ya se están mejorando. Porque mi hija, la de 10 grado, ella cuando estuvo con programa de puente, ella se mejoró bastante y ella está bien contenta.
And I think that this is going to help the children. Like, children come in through the first or second grade and they don't know how to read, or they also are lacking in math skills. And this is going to really help them, to support them, so that they have those skills that they need so they can excel in school. Just like my daughter, that she's in 10th grade, she struggled. And now that, you know, she's in this program, that really helped her to become better and be a better student. And that is going to help all the students to do better in school.
Y como otro programa que ella, mi hija, la de 10, la de 10 grado, ella está en otro programa de AVE, y por medio del puente, y ella se fue en el programa de AVE, y también ahí también le está ayudando bastante, y yo pienso que más que nada que sigue continuando con el programa.
And my daughter, too, she's in a program called AVID, the one that's in 10th grade. And that program, as well as the other program, Bridge, it really helped her. And I think that those two programs together, you know, have really helped her accomplish a lot. And so I really do think that these programs will help the students to do better.
Y muchísimas gracias.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to say one last thing, that this is not only an after-school program. It's a culture-specific program, and we work with the entire family, and we have an impact in the entire community, not only the students. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Adriana. Thank you, El Programa, for being here. And next we have Reeps, Anderson Dubois, and Khalil Self.
All right, good morning.
Morning. Morning.
And thank you for your time. So I'm Anderson Dubois, this is Kaylee Self, and this is Lindsay Perez. And we run the Reflections program at over 5 different sites. And so in a sec, we'll have Lindsay talk a little bit about her experience in the program. But the Reflections program is a school time program that promotes leadership. We are working to elevate our students into places of leadership. And so this was our during the school day program, and Kaylee will talk about our after school program in a sec. But our motto is to prepare the next wave of leaders for the future now. And so we will have Lindsay talk a little bit about her experience.
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Chavez Perez. I'm a fourth grader at Oliver Elementary. I've been in the REAP program for about a year now. It has taught me so many things. Like to do better in class and to always respect others and to have discipline. And I've been practicing my patience. Something that I didn't reap, and I always respect them. How did I grow? Well, how you see me now. I respect my elders, and I have been very happy, and I've been a role model for others. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you suspend the rules and give her a...
Yeah, good job.
And this is her first time coming into City Hall, and so that's part of what we do, offering opportunities for students to really stand up and extend their voice out. And those are the words that she prepared for you guys today.
Yeah. Maybe one day you could sit here or there.
Thank you again for your time this morning. My name is Kaylee Self, and I am the site coordinator at Park Lane Elementary School, which is in Centennial School District. And as a native Portlander, I have definitely noticed the migration of students of color from the inner city areas of Northeast Portland into the Centennial School District. So it's been a pleasure and an honor for me personally to serve those students and serve that community as a member of that community. Secondly, I'd just like to say that it's so encouraging for Lindsay to be here and to see democracy in action, to see our community activists and leaders in our community speak on the things that they're passionate about. And lastly, I hope to see faces and genders like Lindsay represented at your commission right now, because we definitely have gaps in that in representation of students of color and people of color in this community. Last off, I'd like to say that we are so thankful to Portland Children's Levy for this additional funding. There is definitely a need in this community, and although we have made great strides with our Reflections program, which first and foremost is a disciplinary program, so students who we see are often experiencing conflict, whether it be in the classroom with their teachers or their staff. And what we're trying to do is to promote a restorative justice model. So that is to end patterns and build leadership in students like Lindsay. And as you can see, she's made a complete turnaround, and she is here representing that growth and that change that we promote in students. So moving forward, this extended programming is going to do lots for the Centennial community, and we are so excited to provide this extending programming to make culturally relevant programming part of our daily after-school programming, as well as providing not only academic supports but family supports, providing opportunities for students to see leaders in their community that look like them and can mentor them to the next step. So again, I want to acknowledge that Lindsay is going to be a leader of the future and for the next wave of leaders now, and I hope to see her behind the desk where you are now.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we look forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Reap. Our next program is Kairos PDX, and we have Zalika Gardner, principal from Kairos PDX. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Zalika Gardner. I'm co-founder and director of education at Kairos. I want to tell you real quickly some things about our program, and then we have some other people that are going to come up and share as well. And we do definitely come in gratitude. We're 4 years old, so we're a charter school program. We serve, currently right now, we serve kindergarten to fourth. When we're full grown, we'll serve kindergarten to fifth grade. We specifically are working to anchor the albino community. We're about 73% kids of color, mostly African American, and mixes thereof. Parents are very specific about their choice to come to Kairos. Our mission is to close the achievement and opportunity gaps that exist here in the city around race. And toward that end, so academically, we have some innovation and things that we do in the program itself. One of them is to really attend to the whole child. So we do believe that academics needs to be rigorous and full of relationship and all those things that we know work for our children. But we also believe that in order for a child to come out strong and ready to lead, they need to have a really firm foundation academically, socially, emotionally, and culturally. So we're really specific about teaching toward, assessing for, and working on growth in all of those areas. And to do so, we partner with families. And one thing that we've heard from the very beginning of our program is the need for that extended after-school care. Like, it's just a very present need that we, with our current funding model, we're not able to make happen for them. So we're really grateful that through the Children's Levy, we're able to now begin to make that happen. And we're excited that we're able to do it within the context of STEM, which is where we're really heading, because we really do believe that it's the achievement gap is really based in opportunity and wanting to make sure that those opportunities are available for all children in our city and in our school. So I have Lydia who's going to share a little bit as a parent, and Cottrell, who's going to share a little bit as a community member, and we should come in gratitude. Thank you for supporting our program.
So as she stated, my name is Lydia. My daughter has been at Cairo since kindergarten, and I have had the opportunity to watch my daughter become a leader. She's in third grade now. We went to Florida last year on vacation, and my daughter was intrigued, one, because the humidity, because she had never left Portland, besides going to Seattle and different places like that, but to go down south, and the humidity was, like, overtaking her, so she thought she was going to pass out. She eventually figured out she wasn't. I told her to start breathing because she will pass out. But she was more intrigued with all the animals that were everywhere. She was able to catch a gecko and was able to explain everything about this gecko, like from the feet being sticky so it could stay on the tree, and that's the reason why the feet are sticky, so it can climb up the trees. Like, she explained everything. And I definitely want to say that's because of Kairos, because she is a leader at Kairos. She's not only a leader in Kairos, she's a leader in her community. I can honestly say that I appreciate what my daughter has learned. I'm also the chairperson for the Family Council for Kairos, and I serve on that particular platform because I want to see our families grow, and I also want to make sure that our children are included in everything that all PPS children are included in, because we are a part of PPS. Even though we are a charter school, we are still a part of the Portland Public School District, as well as this program will help me as a working parent be able to make sure that my daughter is somewhere safe, somewhere where she can continue to learn about science and things like that, because that is what she loves to do. Not only did she catch a gecko, she caught a frog. She was attempting to catch a snail, and I was like, okay, you're done. We've done enough catching of the animals. And so, but the fact that she can be who she is and explore science and do different things like that, not just science and math and English or anything that she wants to do. At Kairos, they teach our children that they can be anything that they want to be in this world. And so I want to say thank you for allowing us to be a part of this, but also thank you for funding this program and for allowing children of color to be successful in school as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Cottrell White, and I'm just pleased to be here and see something that's being supported that is really a good, outstanding program. How do I know? I've worked with kids for over 40 years. Now, don't tell anybody, but it's been over 40 years, and I think that I know what a program, a good, solid program is. And I'm real pleased that you decided to fund them, and I hope you continue to fund them. Also, I want you to know that I'm not paid by anybody, so I'm here of my own volition.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And I'll turn this over to Sid.
Good morning. I'm Sid Burt. I've been in education in Portland since 1969. I retired from Portland Public Schools in 2003. Since that time, I've done a little teaching at Concordia and Mount Hood Community College, training new teachers, and doing some diversity work. When I heard about Kairos, I was excited, because one of the things that's been sort of a passion is how do we close what's been known as the racial achievement gap, and then they call it the opportunity gap now. But it's been there at least since 1968 that I'm aware of. And Kairos has that as a mission. On the way in today, I asked one of the parents standing there, what is it do you like about this program? And he said, he just sort of gestured with his hands, and he said, this. And it took me a few minutes, and so I said, what? He says, I like the fact that my child can come to school and see other students that look like her. And this has been something that we really need to do, have schools that are designed for kids who are generally underrepresented in education. They're good students, but they're not well represented. And I think Kairos works on that. There's one other little thing I'd like to throw in here, and that is that so often we like to discipline kids. And what we call discipline generally means punishment. Kairos is trying to avoid that definition of discipline. It's training, it's education, and it's helping children learn to be successful. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, and thank you, Kairos, and congratulations. And then lastly, we'll hear from Latino Network Executive Director Carmen Rubio.
Commissioner, while they're coming up, if I could just make a comment with regard to Kairos. I know there's some discussion about the location of Kairos, and I want you to know that I have sent or am in the process of sending a letter to the school board expressing my support for the continued location of Kairos at Humboldt. So I want you to know we're investing in this program. The results of the program are very, very good. And I don't want to see the school board do anything inadvertently that would derail the good progress that you've already made. We've talked a lot about this achievement gap, and it seems that it would be the wrong time and the wrong thing to do to uproot this program. So I want you to know I stand with you, and I will be working to encourage those on the school board to stand with you as well. Thank you.
Morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Carmen Rubio, and I'm the Executive Director of Latino Network. And I'm here with my colleague, Joel Cisneros, who's our Director of School-Based Programs at Latino Network. And our mission is to transform the lives of youth and families and communities in Oregon. And we do this through very high-quality programs and dedicated staff. And most of our staff are bilingual, bicultural, and a strong belief in community self-determination. We're in two counties and in 35 schools, and we serve nearly 6,800 youth and adults a year. And my team and I believe that this work is a privilege and an honor for us to do every single day. And I want to begin by expressing my appreciation to the staff of the Children's Levy and the Allocation Committee for all the tireless hours that they put into this work. And we know this very rigorous process ensures that our tax dollars are funding the highest quality and most effective programs. And so we're very incredibly honored to be considered among the company of the people that we heard today. That was really wonderful. One of our core values is our dedication to complete and equitable education. And we currently have programming across the county aimed at preparing youth for success and to become college and career ready through culturally responsive and culturally specific programming and interventions. Through our programs, we are working from students from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. And our data shows that we are facilitating long-lasting and positive change. For example, last year, 98% of our 12th graders enrolled in our after-school programs graduated and were enrolled in college or career technical programs. And so today, PCL funding will allow Latino Network to deepen its commitment to youth across the city, especially in the high-opportunity areas of East Portland. Our after-school project focuses on young students, and a number of them being English language learners, and particularly those attending kindergarten through third grade across three schools. And so I will turn it over to my colleague, Joel, to talk a little bit about the specific interventions and the outcomes that we expect.
All right, so thank you again. So Joel Cisneros, so our program is going to focus, like Carmen said, in our after-school program setting with K-3, and particularly promoting executive functioning skills, which are the building blocks for the cognitive and social capacities of lifelong learning. In order to achieve this goal, our program will pivot on the nationally recognized curriculum, a Second Step. And Second Step promotes self-regulation skills, social-emotional competence, and school connectedness in program participants. Youth participating in our program will receive the four core components of Second Step, which are developing skills for learning,
teaching empathy, emotional management, and problem-solving strategies. So what we know is if we can help those students be able to self-regulate and be able to have those basic building blocks, they will achieve academically. Our goal is to use instructor data as well as teacher data in order to measure effectiveness of the program. And we plan to reach 60 students per year, with 20 students at each school site.
So that's just a little bit about our program. If you have any questions, we're open to those. But we just want to say thank you for investing in this really critical service. This is truly changing and giving opportunity to our most vulnerable children. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carmen and Joel. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I want to thank all the program participants who came here to testify about how these programs are transforming lives. And this investment you're about to vote on represents $3 million invested in 7 high-quality after-school programs. And we're very grateful to the work that these programs do on behalf of children and family of the City of Portland. And I would urge approval.
Could I ask one more question of Lisa? Could you just come back up for one moment, please? So, Lisa, during public testimony on prior matters, the question came up about the salaries and expenditures of nonprofit organizations. Could you tell us when the selection committee is discussing various nonprofits, what is the conversation around things like overhead? Do you have standards? Do you have comparators? How do you address those issues?
We limit, so each grant proposal submits a budget along with their proposal to the amount of staffing that they want to cover to be able to deliver the program. There's usually also an administrative cost to delivering any program, and we limit that administrative cost to 15%. So that's sort of the upper end. Not everybody takes that full 15%, so sometimes that is an element that reviewers will note, is that this program can be delivered perhaps a bit cheaper. It weighs in, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily decisive, since we set a cap on how much they can claim.
And then it's my understanding you don't necessarily just hand over grant money. Then there is a continual conversation about these types of issues. There's an engagement process.
Oh, yes.
Could you describe that briefly?
Yes. So each contract is negotiated and each budget is then approved so that goes through a staff vetting process before we make the grant. Then people have to collect a lot of data, most of which is not very fun for them, but they do anyway. So we track sort of 5 major metrics for all programs. We're looking at, are they meeting the goals for the numbers of kids that they reach? Are they meeting the goals for the level of participation that we're expecting? So we want students to show up for this program. It's not enough just that they came twice, right? So we're tracking the level of attendance. We're tracking the outcomes, so that every grantee sets outcomes for their program, and they have to have a way to measure it, and we give them assistance in figuring out how to do that. So they have to report to us annually about outcomes, and we assess that. And we also look at staff turnover, because that is a major issue in program quality. In addition, we provide other supports for quality improvement in each of the program areas, so folks have access to some assistance to improve quality as on a day-by-day, like youth development, program delivery, or how you coach staff to best, to be a good supervisor so you retain your staff, those kinds of supports. So we're monitoring that and reporting that on an annual basis to the allocation committee that looks at all of those grant assessments. And then, before we would renew a grant or consider it again, we would look at that cumulatively over time.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Colleagues, any other questions while she's up here for now? Very good. Thank you. Public testimony?
I believe we have at least one. Joe Walsh. And I think Pedro Fartan already spoke.
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Walsh, thank come you. On up.
Yep. Good morning. For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We fully support this program, obviously, if you know anything about us. But there was a question that came up. And this is a question. We listened to sessions yesterday, and we realized that you're going to have a problem down the line somewhere with the federal government and funding. And we're concerned that these programs that are outstanding, and again, let me say, we love this program. And if that happens, and the feds start to cut the funds. We usually criticize you for having too much in reserve, but we're cautioning you that that's going to happen one way or the other. Either we're going to have a financial disaster with this group in Washington, or it's just going to happen because Mother Earth is just really mad at us at the moment. And these expenditures for hurricanes and earthquakes is going to eventually get to us. So we're concerned that if you create these programs and you fund them and you expand them, please take it with the thought that the feds may cut your funding. And what do you do then? Are you going to guarantee these kids a continuation of the program? We would fight you tooth and nail before we let you cut these programs. But often, you don't pay attention to us. So I'm just cautioning you. I haven't heard anything today that gives us any feeling that you're thinking in those terms. Good program, new funding. What happens if this jerk up here pulls the funding from the feds? And it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know how bad it's going to be. But it ain't going to be good. So we would just caution you. Congratulations on the program. It's a wonderful program. You should be proud of what you're doing. I often criticize you, as I did this morning. However, when you're right, you're right. And I've often said that over the 10 years. And you're right on this one. You should be proud of it. But please, have a plan B. Because we are in for a really difficult 3 years.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Now, maybe I didn't hear you properly, Commissioner Salzman, but the grand total allocation is $1,032,000. I think you stated $3 million.
You're right. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Okay, just for a correction there. Issue number two is that I really like the choices, so I absolutely approve of all the grants, and I know you'll do very well. One of the questions I do have, though, is not separating myself from the picks, is I noticed some of the numbers here of 210,000, some as low as 100,000. I wasn't quite sure how you would actually determine how to allocate toward each group from the grant process. So that was just kind of a question to me because I saw some people on the lower side of 100,000, so it was kind of a concern to me. And also, if I heard properly, I thought it was stated that there would be a 5% administrative cap. Then I heard somebody else state, no, we calculate that in at 15%. Maybe I heard that wrong also, but so I heard two different percentages, so it was just a little bit confusing to me. Because when I heard 5%, I said, you know, that's really good. That's really amazing that you can do that. Another thing I'd like to see possibly is I know a lot of younger kids in school, some people that have a real creative ability and may not want to follow the rules and the structure of the schools. And I didn't know if you had a program that kind of you put them into in some of these grants that have been given out to where kind of from more of a creative process type style of young kids that they can actually have certain kind of courses to be tailored toward the direction they might be going in the arts or maybe in you know, a more creative direction. So I didn't see anything in here. Maybe what I'm trying to say is kind of an entrepreneur innovation type education direction. And maybe some of these different groups or the grantees, you do provide that even at a young age, which I think is very necessary to understand. Not everybody's going to go to Harvard, such as Mayor Wheeler, or MIT as Commissioner Salzman, or Harvard, as Commissioner Fish, which I'm not putting Harvard down by any means.
I will. I'm happy to do that.
You did attend there, if I'm correct.
I got a better education at Northeastern.
Okay. That's more than fair. But what I'm saying is that I want to have that creative style of individual in the city of Portland, make sure they have the opportunities, after-school type courses, so they don't get left behind, which obviously a lot of them do, and they end up not completing their education. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So if I could just go ahead and take a seat. But you did raise a good question. I just want to clarify that, yes, today we're asking you to invest $1 million in new money. The allocation committee is still sitting on another almost $2 million that we'll be bringing forward those recommendations later this fall. And the administrative cap, the 5% administrative cap, applies to the children's levy program itself, the administration of the children's levy. The 15% cap applies to the organizations that we fund. So it's a good point, good catch.
Very good. Colleagues, any further questions? Commissioner Saltzman, anything else?
Nope.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your continued diligence on this, and it's truly a legacy project and results in 98% graduation rate. That's pretty impressive. Aye.
Fish.
Dan, thank you for an outstanding presentation, Director Pellegrino, and thank you particularly for bringing the stories from the community forward, because I think it's important for people to see the lives that are affected by this program. And I continue to think, Dan, this will be your singular legacy on this council. Aye.
Wheeler?
Well, I think it's great. And I once many, many years ago had the privilege of serving on the allocation committee. And needless to say, I thought people were very, very engaged. And I thought the vetting was intensive by the staff prior to it even coming to the allocation committee. And then the allocation committee asked lots and lots of probing questions. So I feel like the reason it's easy for us to vote yes on this today and the results of these organizations are good because we do have that vetting process that Lisa and her team and then the volunteers on the allocation committee to provide to the process. So it's very well structured, in my opinion, to make sure that the programs that are the most worthy rise to the top, and therefore it makes it easy for us to have these conversations. I absolutely vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you all for coming in, and thanks for the, Dan, I thought it was a great group of people providing testimony today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, would you